Not sure how you feel about money. I love it. And we're doing three talks to think right about money, hearing what Jesus has to say tonight. A couple of nights ago around the dinner table, I asked my family, how many songs do you know that are about money? And we were rolling them out. There's heaps out there. When you think about what our culture sings about, it gives us an idea about how our culture thinks about money. It started in the 60s. The best things in life are free, but you can give them to the birds and the bees. Give me money. That's what I want. I'm not going to keep singing that. And I reckon that song has been copied about every 8 years and continues to be copied. Money, money, money must be funny in a rich man's world. In the 80s, we were singing, I'm living in a material world and I'm a material girl. Some of us were singing that anyway. In the 90s, we got a bit more nervous. We were singing, money's too tight to mention. Bit of a squeeze on the money thing. Simply Red said, let's talk about money, honey. Let's talk about money, honey. I don't know if you know that song. And around the table, it seemed to me that hip-hop is still obsessed with money. There's a lot of bling sung about because I'd be talking about money. We're talking about money. Let the money talk. Let the reader understand. And so tonight is the first of three talks to help us think right about money. I want to hear what the Bible has to say so we can think biblically about money and material possessions, and so we can act biblically with what we do with our possessions. Now, I can already see some of you thinking, oh, I don't have much money. I work up at the fish and chip shop and they scum me. They only pay me $11 an hour. So you're talking to the wrong person, but you're exactly the right person that I want to talk to, because starting young, thinking right about money will save you from many temptations. And tonight I want to talk about one thing. God is generous. And he gives us what we need to live so that we can be generous in all that we do. And the Bible's actually got plenty to say on the topic. The Psalms celebrate it. We heard Psalm 104 read out for us. It celebrates the fact that God is good and God is generous and he feeds all the creatures on the planet, including humans. Wisdom literature reminds us how to live right with riches, not to get sucked into riches, but use them for good. Jesus confronts us in being obsessed and loving money. The right letters to the church challenge us to think right about how we think about money. I want to come to Luke chapter 12 and I want to hear what Jesus has to say about money. He's got a lot to say. I'm going to look at one small section. You might like to open up the Bible that was read out to us. Page 1031. It's a section where Jesus is wanting us to think right about our possessions and our cash and our money. And if you open it up to there, the first thing I want you to notice that Jesus says is this: life is more than money. Life is more than possessions. Now, it's probably good to get the context right in which he says this. A man comes up to Jesus and says to Jesus, can you tell my brother to give me a fair share of the inheritance? I don't know if your family or you personally have been in a bit of a family fight over who gets what when someone dies. In fact, I've been around long enough to see that some families have really terrible fights and even divide over the fact they didn't get this or they're taking each other to court about money. That's what's happening here. A man comes to Jesus and says, tell my brother to give me a fair share of the inheritance. Now, Jesus' response is this: who am I to judge between you and your brother and to make this assessment? And then what he says, I think, is important for us in us thinking about money correctly. He says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A person's life doesn't consist merely of the abundance of their possessions. Let me unpack that. Jesus is saying life is more than money. And for the person who spends their life chasing money, they've got life the wrong way around. And so I want to pick up what Jesus says. Look in verse 22. He goes on a little bit after that incident, and he talks to his disciples who have got all these questions about, what are you talking about, Jesus, when you talk about money in this way? And Jesus says these words, don't worry about your life. Don't worry about the material possessions in your life. Don't worry about what you'll eat. Don't worry about what you'll wear. Life is more important than food or money, and the body is more important than clothes. And what Jesus teaches us here is to help us get our thinking about our material possessions right. Now, one of the problems for us is we live in a culture that teaches us to go shopping is good, to buy more is good, and to be discontent with what you have, chuck out the old and buy new stuff. And so we need to hear these words and this challenge from Jesus. It's worth noting that Jesus was speaking to a farming culture, and in a farming culture, life is much more uncertain. If you went out to the farmers in northwest New South Wales and asked them, what's the crop going to be like this year? They'll probably say something like, oh, we're not really sure. Because sometimes they have famine and no food and poor crops, and sometimes they have floods, which this year it looks like more floods are coming in the seasons. Farming leaves the farmers uncertain, and so Jesus is talking to people who are uncertain. For us city folk living in the city, we've been fooled into not trusting God. And so there's a bigger challenge for us to see what Jesus is saying here. Jesus is wanting to tell us life is not just about getting money. And Jesus is wanting to say, life is about knowing that there is a God in the universe who wants to know us and relate to us and care for us. And so life isn't about getting stuff and getting more money, but life is about knowing God. One of the Bible writers, Paul, writes a letter to his young friend, and he's writing about the rich in church. And he says this, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Here's the challenge for us. Bible's saying, don't put your trust in stuff and things and money and possessions. Don't look for your contentment in life in material things, but put your trust and hope in God. Contentment, peace in life, doesn't come from your stuff, doesn't come from how much money you've got in your bank balance or the kind of possessions that you have in your room at your home. True peace with God, true contentment, comes from trusting God alone. Life is more than food and clothes. True contentment is found in prayer, not shopping therapy. Now, I know some of you, even from a ripe young age, are great shoppers. I know members of my family love shopping as a form of therapy. Jesus is saying, don't get caught up. Life is more than money. Life is more than shopping. Life is about knowing God in this present life. And so Jesus is helping his disciples to get their thinking about money right. There's a second thing that he says, and I think it's worth noticing. Jesus says, God provides for our material needs. The consumerism of our culture is causing us to lose sight of this great truth. The ultimate source of all good things, all material things, is God himself. And I think we take that for granted. We think the ultimate source of all good things is Coles or Woolworths or DJs or Myers. And so Jesus' challenge here is really saying, lift your eyes and see that it is God who provides all good things. And Psalm 104 is a celebration of the fact that God provides for all the creatures on the earth. We enjoy stuff because the God who created the heavens and the earth has caused that stuff to be given to us so that we might be generous with it and enjoy it. He made it. He provided it. And he sustains us with it. Now, life is meant to be enjoyed. We are meant to enjoy the good things that God has given us in this life, but we're meant to enjoy it saying, thank you, God. You are the one who has given us these material things that I can enjoy. And so there's a challenge for us to think right about our possessions. And Jesus goes on to teach his disciples about how to think right about money and possessions and clothes and food. He says, consider the ravens. God provides for them. How much more will he provide for you? And he says, consider the lilies of the field. I think we've got some here. God clothes them in beauty. How much more will God clothe you? Now let me unpack those two pictures for us. Let's come back to the birds. Jesus picks up the picture of a raven and says, have a look at the ravens. They don't sow or reap like the farmers. They don't have storerooms or barns, yet God feeds them. And then Jesus says, how much more valuable are you than a bird? And so Jesus is wanting to teach his disciples, it's God who is the ultimate provider of your material things. And so you shouldn't worry about it because your heavenly Father longs to give you this to enjoy life with and to be generous with. If God feeds the birds, how much more will God care for you? And so Jesus applies it a little bit further in verse 25. Who of you, by worrying about the material things in life, adds to a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this little thing, why do you worry about these material things? And Jesus picks up the second picture of the lily. Look at the lily in all its beauty, there and there. And Jesus says, look in verse 28, they don't labour or spin, but I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendour is dressed as beautifully as one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass and the plants, which is here today and gone tomorrow and thrown into the fire, how much more will God clothe you? Two how much more arguments. If he feeds the ravens, how much more will he feed you? If he clothes the flowers of the field in all their beauty, how much more will he care for you and look after you? It's a reminder from Jesus that it is God who provides all good that we have. And so ultimately our stuff is not our own, but it's lent to us by God that we might be responsible with what we have. Our problem is we live in a culture that teaches us not to be content with what we have. We live in a culture that teaches us to buy more and more, the next and the greatest. I think we've got four different kinds of iPods in our house as a result that I've got to get the next one. But the latest one's touchscreen. The old one is so useless now. I might give it to Pete instead. He seems to be a few years behind us and is able to live with these things. Jesus is reminding us of two things here. Jesus is saying, don't forget that God is in control and God is generous and God ultimately is the provider of all the material things that we have in this life. And Jesus is challenging us by saying, don't look for peace or contentment or satisfaction in stuff. Look for peace and contentment and satisfaction in God. And then in verse 30, he says, look, the rest of the world chases after stuff, worries about stuff, but you don't have to. Because your Father in heaven knows what you need and he will provide it for you. Rather, says Jesus, seek first his kingdom. Now, we might talk about that a little bit later. And all these things, the material things that we need to live on, will be given for us. Jesus is teaching us a perspective on life to look at how we live life. Jesus is, the second implication here is that we ought to be people that thank God for the good life that we have, for the material things that we have, and we need to be good stewards of all that he has given us. If God is the provider, ultimately, of all our material needs, then we ought to live life saying, thank you, God, for all that you've given to me. A few weeks ago, we had a conversation at one of our meal times. A bit of chatting happens in our house around meal times. And one of our more impatient members said, oh, why do we have to pray? You just pray the same thing every day. But we pray around a meal time because every day we want to remind ourselves, thank you, God, for providing for us the meal that we have on this table. Thank you, God, that you are generous. And so Jesus is teaching us by implication that we ought to be people that say thank you to God. In the Lord's Prayer, there's this line, Lord, give us today our daily bread. In Proverbs 30, one of the wise men named Agur writes this prayer. It's one of my favourite prayers in this kind of topic. Agur says, two things I ask of you. O Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonour the name of my God. It's a great prayer. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. My own personal prayer for myself along these lines goes like this. Lord, help me to be content with less and generous with more. I was really thankful that one of our family members organised the rest of us to be generous to a compassion child. His name's Bremer. He's in Indonesia. And it was an expression, we don't need everything that we have. Lord, help me to be content with less and help me to be generous and give to those who have much less than I do. Help me to be content with less and generous with more. You should try that prayer for yourself. Third thing that Jesus says, and the last thing, Jesus reminds the disciples, God provides for our spiritual needs as well. Life is more than money and possessions and clothes and food. And as we seek first God and his kingdom, God promises he will provide everything that we need to enjoy life with and to be generous with. And more significantly, Jesus says, he has provided for us everything we need in our spiritual life, our life with God. And look in verse 32, Jesus says, do not be afraid, little flock. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. That's an extraordinary sentence that I want you to see is yours if you call yourself a follower of Jesus. Your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. For someone who says, I want to follow Jesus, I want to seek first God, God says, you're in. You're part of the kingdom. You have all the spiritual blessings that Jesus came to pour out on us. And that perspective then helps us to know how we can handle our material possessions. And Jesus gets practical. He says, use your earthly possessions for the good of the kingdom. And I think this is where the rubber hits the road for Christians thinking about what to do with their money and their possessions and their time. By implication, Jesus is saying, don't waste your life storing up stuff for your retirement, but spend your life advancing God and his kingdom. And the pointy bit comes in verse 33. Have a look at what Jesus says. Because they have the kingdom, Jesus says, here's what I want you to do with your material possessions. Sell your possessions and give it to the poor. Provide your purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes and where no moth destroys. Now, there is a challenge for us. I'm not sure if you think you have much stuff at this point in your life. But Jesus is saying, if you're a follower of mine, you've already got the kingdom. Don't get so obsessed with owning things and money. Give it away. Give it away. Downsize your car and give the balance to Anglicare. Sell your latest phone, buy a cheaper phone, and give the difference to Interserve. Now, my observation is at this point, everyone goes quiet and looks down and away, because we resonate more with the rich young ruler who Jesus said, sell everything you have, give it away, you're in. And he walks away sad because he can't give it up. And I'm caught up like you are, thinking, oh, I just want to keep that thing. If I upgrade my computer, it'll just help me play the latest game a little bit better. And I need a really fast graphics card to... And we get in a trap. Sell your possessions. Give it to the poor. Now, I have to say, for younger people, it's actually easier to learn the habit of generosity now, because you're not locked in to mortgages. And I want to encourage you in the next couple of weeks to start being generous with the little you might have, and it will help you be generous with the more that might come later on in your life. Don't waste your life hoarding stuff for your retirement. And so the third implication of what Jesus says here is kingdom-minded people will use their possessions to advance God's kingdom in the world. I'm keeping that language deliberately because that's how Jesus speaks in this passage. You see, it's kingdom-minded Christians who are generous to God's work in the world. In your bulletin, you would have received an outline from Parish Council outlining how we hope to raise money to give money away to mission events and outreach events. And St. David's deliberately puts 11% of all money that comes to us, however much it comes to us, and gives it to kingdom work, mission work, both overseas and nearby. We do that deliberately because we think that kingdom-minded people ought to be generous to kingdom projects and kingdom initiatives. So I want to challenge you to be generous with what you have, because God has been generous to us. Now, this seems like a strange practice to people looking in, but it's a really important practice that we learn regular generosity, because it's a reflection that we understand God has been generous to us. He's given us it all. He's called us into his kingdom. And so he invites us to use our earthly possessions for his good things. When Paul writes to Timothy, he says this: command the rich to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous and willing to share. and in this way they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of life that is truly life. Don't waste your life accumulating possessions. Don't waste your life accumulating cash for retirement. Don't waste your life accumulating apps on your phone. Don't waste your life seeking peace and contentment in stuff and not God. But spend your life advancing the kingdom. Spend your life seeking first the kingdom of God, and your material life will sort itself out. Let me pray. Dear God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have been generous to us in ways that we barely see. We thank you that you have been generous to us in providing us a good life in a good part of the world, in a good suburb, in a good city. We thank you that you have been generous to us in the spiritual realm, that through Jesus you've brought us into your kingdom. Help us to be generous with all that you've given us. Help us to be thankful that you are our provider. Help us to be content with less and generous with more. Help us to think right about money and wealth and possessions. Help us to give it away, knowing that you have already given us everything. Amen.
Well, I've certainly